The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Well, it's a great joy this morning to have Pastor Ada Boland to come and bring the message for us. Ada grew up in St. George, about 4 hours west of here, and she encountered Jesus in a supernatural way when she was a teenager, and it totally changed her life. Ada spent many years in Townsville, including as a youth pastor for a large church up there. But then several years ago, the Lord called her back to Toowoomba, and we're delighted he did. Ada travels extensively across our nation. She ministers to many people, but particularly to Indigenous people across our nation, has seen incredible response to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to people giving their lives to Jesus, of people experience healing and miracles happening in those communities. I love Ada's heart for our nation. Her ministry is one of reconciliation, it's one of restoration, and it's one of healing. And that includes into the relational aspect between tribes, between peoples, but most of all with God, and then with one another. And so Ada's a mission partner of Rangeville. That means we get to pray for Ada regularly. We get to support her ministry. But Ada's also been the initiator and the driving force behind the Prophetic Voices of the Land conference that we're having the privilege to host this weekend. So would you please welcome Ada as she comes and shares with us this morning.
Thanks. Thank you, Ada. Thank you, sir. Thanks, Pastor Andrew, Colleen, your family, elders, and giving me the great privilege and honour to be able to be in the journey with you. This morning I'm reflecting on the word of the Lord as I began to seek him. And I said, Lord, what have you got for Australia? Father, where are we at? And he said, Ada, Australia is at a pivotal time. It's a pivotal time and a pivotal season, a Kairos time. And in this particular time and season, for us as the church, we have to make decisions. We have to make decisions that are going to determine the future of our country. We have to make decisions that we're believing for the hope of our nation, for the greatest outpouring of the Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. God's brought us so far as a nation. We know that there's been so many prophetic words that have been spoken over our nation, our lands and our seas, that this is the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. And we know that there are things still yet to come. You know, it's not the natural circumstances, it's not the natural situations that are going on in the media and around us that's going to determine the future. I believe that God has a future for us. I believe that God is the hope of our future. I believe that God will do what He has destined for us, because nobody can change what God has destined for a land and a people and a nation. Including us as His church. You know, as we join together, as we journey together and journey together as one, and we stay in that place of intimacy with the King of Kings and the Creator of the universe, He can do the impossible. He can turn the tides around. He can manifest Himself and His glory in ways that we haven't even yet begun to imagine. And we come so far in our lives as Christians and as the children of God. And I believe that He wants to take us to another level. He wants to enlarge our capacity. He wants to take us from glory to glory. When we behold the glory of the Lord, it says in 2 Corinthians that we are changed. When we behold the face of the Father and the Son, He does a transformation in us. Isn't that exciting? You know, and it's not just about us trying to transform and change ourselves. Sometimes that's difficult. And you think of things that have been in our lives that could be habits, that could be familiar with things, and just being in a place of complacency, sometimes being in a place of compromise. When we look at ourselves, we know that we can't do it without Him. Amen? And when we look at Jesus and we behold Him, He, by the power of His Spirit, is able to transform and change us and take us into the next level and into new capacity. Amen? Are you with me? So we're in a pivotal chorus time, He said to me. And as we come to pivotal times, there's always a crossing over. The nation of Israel had many times in their lives that when they came out of slavery, that they had to cross over. God brought them to the Red Sea when Moses, you know, took his place to lead the nation of Israel out of slavery of the Egyptians. They had to make a choice there. I've got to cross over. Will I make the change to cross over? Crossing over at times of transitions. And I know that all of us, in times and seasons in our lives that we face, we have many challenges. Some of us travel through difficult things, challenges with our health, challenges with our relationships, challenges at work. Just life is full of challenges sometimes. But hey, it's in those seasons when we're sometimes at the end of ourselves that God, by the power of His Spirit, can take us and transition us into a new position in a new place by the power of His Spirit. Isn't that exciting? Hey, that we've got the Holy Spirit. It says that He's our comforter, He's our guide, and He's our counselor. And there are seasons where He wants to take us to new places, reveal Himself to us. There are things of the heaven and the kingdom of God that we probably haven't even yet imagined. Some of us have seen it and some of us haven't. But there are treasures and riches that He has that He wants to manifest and He wants to reveal into the heart of His church. That's you and that's me. We carry the DNA of the living God. He lives within us. He breathed His Spirit in us and we became a living being. And I believe that you as Rangeville Community Church, you are at the crossroads. I believe the vision of this church, that God is preparing you, that He wants to bring you into a new capacity. He wants to enlarge it. He wants to bring you into a place that you are prepared and ready for what's up ahead. How exciting is the vision of Rangeville, hey? Rangeville Community Church, God's got you marked. God's got you chosen. You've come this far and He wants to take you even further. Out into the deep sometimes where we know we can't swim. Where God took Ezekiel and showed him, come on, there's a river out there. In a river that you can swim in. And I believe, you know, that the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, when we're traveling through the difficult times, difficult seasons, that He is with us and He will fulfill His destiny for your life as an individual, for your family, you know, and even for your church and our city. Amen? He's got a destiny for Toowoomba. It's been prophesied so many times. And so we know in this season, and the word pivotal, you know, it's a particular time, a chorus time, where we have to decide to cross over. I'm going to cross over. I'm going to transition into another place, into another season, and asking the Holy Spirit to transform us and to change us. We know that the nation of Israel struggled with looking back. They were constantly looking back. And they were so constantly, you know, talking about the food that they had back in Egypt. Instead of looking at the miraculous and looking at the miracles and the signs and the wonders that God did, His divine intervention opened up the Red Sea. God provided their manna in the desert. But they were always looking back. And you know, it's pretty much same with us. You know, we're all flesh and blood and human. It's our human nature to be comfortable, to want to stay in the same place. We're so comfortable with the familiar. Hey, I did it this way and I'm used to doing it this way. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm not moving. I'm not shifting. Anybody else been there like me? And so it's the places that God wants us to cross over because He's got something bigger. He's got something more significant. He's got something more important for us as His church and for you as an individual. Letting go of familiarity, letting go of complacency, letting go of compromise. Sometimes it could be letting go of some people you're hanging around that's really not championing you to go further or championing you to get deeper with God. The crossing over, pivotal times that we make decision where we're saying, God, I know I need more of you. God, I know I'm not going to get to that place without you. Amen. You still with me? Amen. Crossing over symbolizes it's a navigating of one's life's journey into the place that God's calling us to be and to understand that He has a will and a purpose and a destiny for our lives and our nation. Paul talks to the church and he said, no one having put his hands to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, and as Jesus was discipling, you know, the disciples and the men that he called around him, some of them were always looking back to how they did it, what they had, and weren't ready for what was up ahead, especially the death of Jesus, their leader. Luke chapter 9 verses 62 said, no one having put his hands to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom. I mean, that's a pretty heavy word, isn't it? Because we're all human and we're so used to sometimes looking back at what's happened in our lives and how we've done things, and we try to keep on doing it the way we do it. And I believe that at the crossroads in this pivotal time for us as the church, we need to understand that God brings us into places of enlarging our capacity. There are times where He wants to change our mindsets. There are times when He wants to change even the way we speak. There are times where, yes, He wants to change the relationships and the people that we hang out with. So there are times where He wants to grow and enlarge our capacity so that we are ready and prepared for the things that He has for us up ahead. Isaiah came into a new capacity in his life and he realized that he had to change. He said that he was a man of unclean lips. It's found in Isaiah chapter 6. The glory of the Lord manifested. And when the glory of the Lord manifested in the temple, he was convicted of his sin. And he said, I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell amongst people of unclean lips. I love it about that scripture, you know, that, you know, God is so much like that, eh? You know, He's so loving and gracious and full of mercy. You know, and He didn't point the finger at Isaiah and say, oh, you're not good enough. You're not going to make it. You just haven't got the tools. You haven't got the goods. But when Isaiah was convicted of his sin, you know, God just got the angel to grab a coal off the altar, put it on his mouth, and he was healed. You know, and we see that Isaiah was coming into a place of a new capacity. God had prepared him and was getting him ready to go from being a priest in the temple to be a prophet to the nation of Israel. And the Lord, the angel of the Lord said to him, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. And there are times when we go from one place to the next, or from one place to another, transitions, and we're crossing over into the fullness of what God's for us. Or we're crossing over into the fullness of just coming into a new relationship or intimate place with God. It's not about what we can do, it's about what He can do. And He will outwork what it is that He wants to release into your life. Transitions, crossing over from one state into the next. You know, navigating the changes. And in the navigation of the changes and the crossing over and the transitions, we lay down our life as a sacrifice and we say, Lord, it's not about what I want, but Father, it's about Your will. What is it that You have for me? What is it that You've got for me? Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. He transitioned and he crossed over to not only just being a priest in the temple, but he became a voice to the nation of Israel. He became one of the greatest prophets. He was one of the prophets that wrote Isaiah 53. And we all know that great scripture about what was going to come ahead in relation, you know, to Jesus and going to this cross. So in Isaiah 54, one of the other greatest scriptures that I like that he wrote, it talks about enlarging. And it says in verse 2 in Isaiah 54, enlarge the place of your tent. Enlarge your capacity. Your tent is the person that's living on the inside. Enlarge the place of your tent. Get ready. It's just like maybe a married couple. They might be having twins. So they got to we've got to get out of this one bedroom house. We've got to enlarge our capacity. I've got to get ready for the children. And so you start to plan and you start to prepare for what's coming up ahead. And so God is saying, and Isaiah is encouraging the nation of Israel, saying, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. We all know what it's like when we go camping. We pull out those cords and then it says, and put it in the ground and strengthen your stakes. You bang in, you hammer in those stakes to keep it down. God wants us to be able to be steadfast and immovable. We know when the storms and the winds and the rain and the challenges of life and just carrying responsibility can sometimes be overwhelming. And God is saying to the nation of Israel, come on, strengthen your stakes, dig a little bit deeper. Dig your roots down, your relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Ask Him to open up your eyes to see outside of the natural. Ask Him to say, God, show me the things of Your kingdom. Lord, show me Your heart in a new dimension. Lord, bring me into a new place of understanding the realm of the Spirit. We sometimes make our decision based on everything in the natural, in our own ability, our own thinking, our own strength. But hey, when you allow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Holy Spirit to come in, He makes it easier. He said He's the comforter, He's our counselor, He's our guide. He'll lead us into the places and the things that He wants to outwork in and through your life and your family. He said to Isaiah, and you shall expand. Isaiah said, to the nation of Israel, and you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nation. Isn't that exciting? When you decide to allow the Spirit of God to enlarge your capacity, not only does it affect you in the present, but it affects the next generation. Your children will see the influence of God in your life. Your children will see the influence of the Holy Spirit in your life. That you don't rely just on yourself, or sometimes when you're in the challenges and when you get on your knees and your children see you praying, you are going to have the effect and the influence of what decisions you make in the particular time, and it will flow out. It will affect from generation to generation. Isn't that exciting? And it says you will inhabit the earth. That's what he was saying to the nation of Israel. And you will make the desert places, the desert cities will become inherited. Isn't that exciting? That wherever you are as the people of God, you have an effect. You can bring change. You can bring transformation as you begin to not only just seek God for yourself in a new dimension and allow Him to enlarge your capacity. The influence of that with you and God overflows to your children. It overflows to your neighbor. It overflows to your community. Overflows to our city. And it overflows to our nation. The blessing of God upon our nation. It's coming about because the church has taken her position, because the church and the people of God are rising up and saying, no, we don't want that in our nation. No, we don't want that in our churches. We want the blessings of the living God to overflow, and that His name will be lifted up higher than any other God. Hallelujah. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one, the only true God. And when we as the church rise up and not be ashamed of the gospel, watch what He will do on our behalf. I mean, how exciting is that? It all sounds so easy. But sometimes it's difficult. There's so much things wanting our attention. There's so many distractions. But for us as the children of God, we carry the DNA of the living God, you know, and we are able to speak and to pray and to believe for transformation, to go from glory to glory. Not to remain in the same place, not to become comfortable, not to become familiar, but to say, God, I know You got something better. And Lord, we know only You can do it. But we're standing, God, in partnership with You to believe for the greatest outpouring of Your Spirit in our nation. He can do it. Upon the children. Upon the children's children. From generation to generation. Watch what God will do through you, Rangel Community Church. Because you've said yes. We want to enlarge our capacity as a church. We want the Spirit of God to breathe upon our community here at Rangel, and we want it to overflow into the city and the nation. Isn't that exciting, Pastor Andrew? God's able to do it when He can get a people that says, yes, I'm ready for You, God, to enlarge my capacity, to go through a bit of stretching so that I can see my neighbour get saved, so that we can see the Spirit of God bringing release and people being coming to the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah, being steadfast, immovable and unshaken, not because of what I can achieve, but because of what He can achieve. He can do it. Amen. In the enlargement, it's always a season where God is pruning us. In John chapter 15, we see the scripture where it talks about, you know, the branches and the vine. He talks about if you abide in Me and I in you. And it says the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in Me. So there are seasons where God is pruning us, is refining us, He's polishing us up. You know, ladies, when it gets a bit dusty at the house or in the house, we got to go and do a bit of dusting, clean it up. So there are times when God is saying, as you come into a place of enlargement, as you come into a place of enlarging your capacity, God refines us. He polishes us. He's the potter and we are the clay. I love it, that scripture in Jeremiah where it talks about, you know, he goes down to the potter's house and he sees the potter working with the clay, and he says that the clay becomes marred in the potter's hand. He didn't throw the clay away. He said he remolded, he remade it, he remade it. And so that's the same with us as the children of God. He doesn't chuck us away. Hey, he doesn't give up on us. Man, you know, where is love? You know, he loves us. And he's looking for us to love him. And so when we just call out in our times of enlarging our capacity, in these pivotal times, he remakes us. And he says, hey, I can help you fix that up. And as we listen to the voice of the Spirit, he molds us and he makes us and he changes so that we're becoming more like him. Amen. When you go out into the darkness, the light of the church is shining. Amen. A light in a dark place. And I tell you, it is going to get darker, but hey, the church is here still and she is alive. The church is still alive and she is shining the light. No matter how many times the enemy tries to shut down the church, shut down Jesus through his death, burial and his resurrection, power of the Holy Ghost, she's still alive. As Pastor Andrew was saying, the multiplication and the increase of the kingdom has not stopped. There are people that are going to pay a price for the increase of the kingdom and the advancement. What is God asking you to do? Maybe he's saying, hey, just go down there, love on your neighbor. Maybe spend time with your co-worker. And it doesn't have to be the big things. And it's all about the body. It's not just about Pastor Andrew and the elders. It's about the body working together as one, fulfilling a destiny and the plans and the purposes of God together. Doesn't that make it so much easier? When you've got others around you that you can walk with, that you can journey with, hey, that help you fulfill some things that God's asking the church to do. Hallelujah. Too quiet, you people. Pivotal season. It's a pivotal time for Australia. And as we as the people of God surrender and lay down and we ask the Holy Spirit to prepare us, polish us up, refine us and prune us, you know, there is a transformation and things begin to happen in the spiritual realm. And we see that when the nation of Israel, for them to come into their promised land, they had to come to the place of crossing over. And before they crossed over, they had to go through, the older generation died off in the wilderness. A new generation came out from the wilderness. He raised up a pretty mighty army, Joshua did. But before they could go and take and enter into the land flowing with milk and honey, God had to prepare them. It took 8 days. They had to walk through the journey of circumcision. They had to be circumcised. You know, and then they had to remain 8 days in the camp. Number 8 represents new beginnings. It represents them crossing over from the old to the new. And we see with Joshua as he takes out the army that was prepared after their circumcision, they come and they are confronted by one of the biggest restrictions that was in front of him was the wall of Jericho. It was the Jericho wall, and it was so strong. But we know that there was a great intervention of the power of God that worked on their behalf. So in the place of enlargement, as we allow God to change us and to mould us and to make us, to strip away some things we know that's not good for us, strip away some things that we need to be fashioned and to be more looking like Jesus. God always releases divine intervention. Isn't that exciting? You don't need to fight your battles. Hey, he's already gone before us. He's already paved the way. If he's given you a people group to meet, if he's given you a women group to start, God's so creative. There are many things that he wants us to do to build bridges to people. And when Joshua crossed over with the army, he got a downprint from heaven of what to do. Isn't that exciting? When you say yes to God, he will download what it is he wants you to do. Plan, it'll be there from A to Z. This is what you got to do and this is how you got to do it. I suppose the board's got all that written down, the vision. Having a vision. God will release a vision into your spirit. He'll show you things. He speaks to us in dreams and visions. He'll speak to you through reading the Bible. He'll speak to you through other people. We just have to have a hear to listen. He that has a hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Understanding that God loves us so much that he wants to speak to us. He wants to show us things. You know, and as Joshua came into that place, God had already given him a plan in what to do. I love the scripture, you know, before Joshua was getting ready to take the army out to battle, that he was actually visited by this huge angel. And Joshua was a bit afraid, I think. And he said, are you for us or are you against us? It's found in Joshua chapter 5. You know, so there was an intervention of the commander of the army of the Lord, he said. I am the commander of the army of the Lord. In the crossing over, Joshua had confirmation from God that he didn't have to fight this battle alone. He didn't have to fight this battle by himself. The commander of the army of the Lord manifested, and it was a sign to say, look, we've already gone before you. They didn't even have to pull out a sword until the wall came tumbling down. One of the greatest restrictions that was in the land of flowing with milk and honey was Jericho. And we all know the story. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. They were able to take territory because of the divine intervention of God. Isn't that exciting? And if God's asking you to do something, as he enlarges your capacity, preparing you for whatever he's asking you to do, divine intervention, the angels, the army of the Lord, is already fighting our battles. He's already gone before us. Hey, there's nothing that can stop us as the church. And I know that you all have a heart like me that we're believing for God to save our city. We're believing for people to come to be set free. We're believing for people to come to know the love, the grace and the mercy of the Father. And as he changes us, his church, he's getting us ready to take territory. Isn't that exciting? I don't know where he wants you to go. I don't know what he wants you to do, but I'm sure there's so many dreams in the hearts of people here this morning. I believe you're carrying something that's going to manifest through your life to bring change into the heart and the lives of people. You carry the DNA of the living God. As you reach out and as you love and as you care for people around you, your own family first and then others that he's asking you to call, watch what he will do through your life. It's not about the leaders up the front. We cannot accomplish the bigger picture alone. Fivefold ministry, the apostolic, prophetic, pastor, teacher, evangelist is right here sitting. All of you, you carry those giftings. That's how the church was birthed. That's how the church was born. And we know that Paul talks about it in Ephesians. And it's just not out working and, you know, up here. But hey, it's out in the marketplace. Where are the multitudes of people? Well, they're definitely not here in church. So, hey, it's those, it goes beyond these four walls. You know, that what you carry is so significant. What you carry is so important to the enlargement and the increase and the advancement of the kingdom in our city. Give your neighbour a tap on the shoulder. You're the carrier. You're the carrier. You're the carrier. You're what people need. Not just us up the front. Hey, we're only just part of the bigger picture. The crossing over, when they crossed over after their 8 days of circumcision that the army of the Lord went through. That was the new generation that Joshua raised up to take the land and to enter, to take the nation of Israel into the land flowing with the milk and honey. Divine intervention has already gone before us. Maybe you just think, well, I'm not at a place where I really want to do anything. I'm ready to retire. Anybody like that? I was like that before I come to town, to Toowoomba. I've had enough, Lord. I'm happy to travel the world. Forget saving the people. And then he said, well, I saved you, didn't I? You know, we are so blessed, aren't we? You know, we've got so much. You know, I think about God's joy. He says, joy unspeakable. Even though Jesus was going to the cross, he still had this joy. It was a supernatural joy that was in his life. So that he went to the cross, you know, for you and me. He went to the cross and the joy was there because he knew that he was going to bridge a gap between us and the Father. And the other joy I believe that he had was the joy of knowing, oh my Lord, I am going back to have an unlimited potential. When he became man, he was the Son of Man and the Son of God. He was restricted in so many ways when he became the Son of Man. But hey, he was the Son of God first and he never knew limitations. He never knew restrictions. And so he must have been so joyful and happy because he knew that, hey, I'm going to sit down at the right hand of my Father and I'm going to be back and be restored to who I really am. A God that has no limits. A God that has no restrictions. And I'm telling you, divine intervention, that's who we serve. He's got no restrictions. He's got no limitation. So whatever you think that you're limited in, don't worry about it. Look at Jesus and he will outwork his unlimited power, his unlimited resources, his unlimited presence and love and joy and peace that he will give us to keep on running the race of faith. Amen. Amen? Running the race of faith. Enlarging our capacity. Coming into a place of saying, God, if you are going to do anything through my life, I know your divine intervention. I know that your angels are fighting my battle. And you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will help me to accomplish all that you ask of me to do. Let's just give him a hand. Amen. Jesus. We lift up Jesus, the King of Kings. How am I going for time? I'm pretty much there, I thought so. what a privilege and an honour, and I just really thank Rangeville Community Church, and, you know, I get so humble and thankful for God just aligning me with great people, aligning me with great churches across the land, and to be able to champion God's church. We're in it together. You know, there's always the battle of spirits wanting to invade our nation. But as we stand together, we know that the prophetic promises of Australia is coming to pass. It's the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. It's where prophetic promises have said that this nation is going to have the last great, greatest move of the Spirit that the world has ever seen. Why do you think people want to come here to live? Hey, it's the blessing of God upon us. You know, we've been so blessed. We've been kept and we've been preserved. But we as a church have got to recognise it's a pivotal season. Let's not take it lightly what we carry, and that we've got to stand in the gap, and we continue to believe, and we continue to confess and decree and declare who we are. Hey, we are a nation called, chosen and marked for the greatest move of the Spirit. And we know that the enemy cannot take that away from us, because no circumstances is going to take what God has given us. Amen. Because of the divine army, the army and the commanders of the Lord battling for us. But church, we got a battle too. Battle in that prayer room, ladies. All you intercessors, we stand together. We continue to believe for a unity amongst our churches and leaders. We continue to believe that God, you are the Lord over our nation. No other God but the name of Jesus is going to rule and reign over our nation. The enemy may rise with his darkness, but hey, we're the light that's going to be shining in the dark places, and people are going to come looking for you. People are going to come looking for the church. It is a defining, pivotal moment, church, and I know that God will outwork his greatest, greatest promise for our nation. Colossians 2:15, as I finish, we know that divine intervention and the army of the Lord will help us take territory and will bring us into the fullness of what God's going to do in this great land that we live in. Colossians 2:15 says, having disarmed, don't you love that word? Disarmed, he's pulled it down. Disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. When the enemy put Jesus to the cross, he rose from the dead. His death, his burial, and his resurrection power is at work in his church. Disarming principalities and power. We live out of a place of victory. We are seated in high places with him. We don't fight from a place where we feel like we've lost. We fight from a place of victory. I pray from a place of victory. I intercede from a place of victory. I pray and live out of a life of victory, because Jesus disarmed them. Disarmed those things that came against his church. Made him a public spectacle. Hallelujah. Let's all stand and give him a hand. Thanks, Ross Andrew. God bless you, everybody.
Thanks, Ada.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.